Ephesians chapter 2, page 1173 of the Red Church Bibles, and I'm going to read our passage for this morning. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Shall we pray as we come to God's word this morning? Heavenly Father, we ask that as we come to your word now, that you would speak to us. We ask that you would enable us to listen to what you're saying. And we pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you've called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen. Well, we're dropping into Ephesians this morning. It'd be really helpful if you were to keep your Bibles open. If you've closed them, it's page 1173. It's going to be particularly helpful this morning because I'm going to say some things from the text that might seem unbelievable. Some things that you're definitely going to want to check are true this morning. So as we turn there, I wonder how you'd answer this question. How do we see God's power today? Just take a moment. How would you answer that? I mean, there are many answers, aren't there, to that question. How do we see God's power today? Just flick your eyes back up to Ephesians 1, verse 19. In Ephesians 1:19, Paul has just prayed that the Ephesians would know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. He wants the Ephesians, he wants us to know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. So what is that incomparably great power? What even does that mean? Well, some people might say it's signs and wonders. Others might say it's those special moments when you feel God particularly close to you. For other people, it might be those rallies, Billy Graham style, when many people turn to Christ. Do you expect to see God's power today? Do we expect to see God's power today? Perhaps you've grown up and you are accustomed to not even thinking that way. I mean, each Sunday we gather here, don't we, on a Sunday morning, and it can become a bit samey. It can start to feel a little bit weak. I mean, what seems weaker than a bunch of weak Christians gathering to read a really old book? I mean, if you look at some of the Bibles, some of them do look particularly weak this morning, don't they? I mean, can you imagine asking your friends to come and join us on a Sunday morning to do that? We do the same things week in, week out. And perhaps the only variety we have is when someone else is preaching on a Sunday morning. Is the Christian life meant to be that way? Is church meant to be that way? How do we see God's power today? Well, for those in Paul's day, oh boy, there certainly were signs and wonders. When Paul rolled into Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, there was incredible power. There were healing hankies. There were people speaking foreign languages. There were mass conversions. There was even a resurrection or two. Impressive looking things. But by the time that this letter we're reading this morning, by the time Ephesians was penned, those acts of power seem to have stopped. Powerful Paul has become prisoner Paul. And those hankies, well, the best thing for them is to go in the washing machine. Has something gone wrong? Is Christianity just a bit weak? Yet remember Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer is for every Christian to see God's power at work. Every Christian. That means you. That means me. Every Christian. What does he mean? Well, fortunately for us, Paul explains what he means in his prayers. He does this thing where he prays and then he explains what he's prayed for. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to see what he means. And are you ready? The great truth of Ephesians chapter 2 is that we can all see God's power today. Yes, today, right now. In fact, we're going to see God's power this morning. Sam's not here, I know. Ooh. What's he doing? This morning, we're going to see God's power at work. And when you see it, it's really amazing. Are you ready? Well, just imagine that you've walked into church this morning, and in the seats, in these purple chairs, are people that you know are dead. Certifiably dead. But as you come towards them, you notice that they're breathing. Amy's giving me a face like that. Won't be nice to look at. Just imagine you see them, but they're breathing. They're moving. They're living. Wouldn't that be the most impressive thing you've ever seen? And they look okay as well, Amy, don't worry. Well, Paul says that that is exactly what has happened in the church. That is exactly how you see God's power at work today. So our passage this morning is telling us that we see God's power at work today every time someone crosses from death to life. Every time someone puts their trust in Jesus and moves from here to here. Every time God breathes new creation life into one of his people. In fact, let's do an awkward thing, shall we? Just have a look around the room. Go on. It's not as awkward as it sounds. Everyone else is doing it. Take a look at the people sitting here, okay? The people you see, they aren't dead, however much they might look like it. They're alive. Yeah. Each believer in this room has had God's power at work in them. So as we're looking at each other this morning, we are looking at God's power on display. This morning, if you're a Christian, you are a framed, put on display example of God's incomparably great power. Wow. Who would have thought that this morning when you looked in the mirror, eh? Who would have thought that someone would say that about you, about us this morning? And that changes how you think about yourself, doesn't it? But how does that work? Let's take a look, shall we? Let's have a look at the text. First of all, the first point Paul wants us to get this morning is this. We were dead. If you're a note taker, that's the first point this morning. We were dead. Have a look at verses 1 to 3. Of chapter 2 of Ephesians with me. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were deserving of wrath. Now, when Paul says dead, he really means dead. Now, that might strike you as a little bit odd. I don't remember being dead. As far as I'm aware, I'm alive and kicking. What do you mean dead? Well, let me demonstrate what Paul means here with these flowers, okay? These flowers. They're lovely looking, aren't they? Lovely looking flowers. They're something that I would happily display in my living room. In fact, I'm probably going to pop them in a vase at home, right in the middle of our dining room table. I'm sure you'd want to too. Look at that, nice colourful tulips. Izzy will be very happy with that. But the thing about these flowers is they're very much dead. They were dead the moment that they were detached from their roots. They were dead the very moment that someone, lovingly handpicked with care, cut them with the shears. They might look living to us. They might look alive. But they really are dead. And we fill our houses with them. Sorry to ruin flowers for you this morning. But in a few hours, and definitely in a few days, we're going to see their deadness. That death is going to be showing itself each moment that these plants get closer and closer to my decorum-labelled green wheelie bin. And before we were Christians, if you're a Christian this morning, that is the state that you were in. We might have looked alive, we might have felt alive, but we were disconnected from the source of life. And so, just like these flowers, we were dead. In fact, Paul wants us to know that we were more dead than we realize. We don't realize just how dead we were. See, this is a big deal. It's not that we were staggering along in need of one jolt of electricity. It's not even that we were close to death on our deathbeds. Paul says, plain and simple, dead. You were dead. I mean, when someone nice becomes a Christian, we tend to think that's just a small thing, don't we? Just something that we can add on to their niceness chart, you know, at the home with the little stars and the rest. Nice little niceness chart. It's an add-on. It's a bonus. But Paul here says that that person, however nice they are, has gone from being a zombie to being a new creation. They've gone from being dead to being alive. They've gone from being God's enemy to being God's friend. That's what Paul's saying here. Just like these flowers, we were dead. We'd cut ourselves off from life. We were cut off from the roots. So how had we done that? End of verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. That's in the ways that we ignored God's right rule. In the ways that we said, as we do with the kids, shove off, I'm in charge, no to your ways. As we turned our backs on our loving Creator and we declared independency. Of course, just saying that doesn't make it true, even if you do declare it. See, even though we declare independence, even though we thought we're in charge, the reality is that we actually were following other people. I mean, teenagers are a great illustration of this, aren't they? I was driving my car the other day and I saw a bunch of them. They want to rebel, don't they? Sorry, teenagers in the room. But when I was a teenager, we wanted to rebel. We want to show our independence, like Kevin the teenager. You know Kevin the teenager? Everything's so unfair. What do teenagers do then? What is it they do? Well, they dress differently, don't they? They act differently. Everything that mum and dad does is totally uncool. They want to stand out. They want to mark their own territory. But the irony is, as I saw in my car the other day, each time you pass them, a group of them, I mean, what's a group of teenagers? A gaggle? A herd? A mob? Anyway, each time you pass a group of teenagers, the irony is, put them with the rest of their friends, and they all look the same. They all act the same. Independent. You're right. And that is exactly what we were like. Do you see that? Verse 2. You followed the ways of this world. We were listening to everyone around us. We were living to impress others. We were like dead fish going with the flow. Still moving, but just going down the flow. Or like the spider that fell into my bath this morning as I was having a shower. Heading towards the drain. Nothing it can do. Couldn't do a thing about it. As Christians, we still find the world tempting, don't we? Before knowing Jesus, we were simply going with the flow. We were following the world. That's the first leader. Second leader, we also followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Who's that? Well, plain and simple, that is Satan. That's striking, isn't it? Just think about that for a moment. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that before Jesus, we were following Satan? Well, Paul says that's true. The Bible says that's true. We lied, we cheated, we showed our allegiance to him. We accepted his lies of just do your own thing. Or your desires are good, God's given them to you, go with it. Satan is the father of lies, and as we lie, and as we live a lie, we're following him. Just like a son is like his father, we are disobedient like him, just like Satan. It's the second leader. Third leader, verse 3. We were gratifying the cravings of our flesh. I mean, we all know, don't we, how easy it is to blame the world around us. We might even claim Satan made me do it. But here, Paul gives us the answer. Paul shows us that we followed our own flesh. We followed the cravings, the desires of our bodies and our minds. I mean, when we all look deep down, when we're all honest with each other, we know this is true, don't we? When I just can't control my anger, when I do something that I know I shouldn't do, simply because I want to. When we believe that we are so far above the very rules that we enforce on other people, we follow our own flesh. I mean, it's an awkward thing to say, but the Bible is clear, and my job here is to simply say what the Bible says. And the Bible says, if you don't follow Jesus, you might think you're free, you might think you're independent, but you follow the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the truth this morning. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. That is what the Bible says. And if we find that awkward, if we're squirming in our seats right now, just have a look at what Paul says in verse 3. All of us once lived that way. Our nice neighbours, our dear grannies, even Paul, the law-abiding Jew, lived this way. You, me, everyone who has ever set foot in this world, bar one, has lived this way. I mean, for Paul to say that, that really levels the playing field, doesn't it? We were all zombies staggering through life. It's the human condition. It's why your nice neighbour still needs Jesus. It's why we all need Jesus. It's why going from being a nice person to being a Christian is absolutely massive. And if you're not a nice person, well, it's even more, isn't it? Because end of verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Paul can say that as a law-abiding Jewish man at the top of his class. We can say that as Gentile Brits here in this room. Everyone, and I mean everyone, was in this boat. Zombies walking through life, cut off from the life giver, like my spider stuck in the shower this morning, heading to the plug hole. We were dead. And so, it's going to take something massive to turn that around. Something miraculously powerful to take something dead and to bring it back to life. And that is why we have a big but here in verse 4. The second point this morning, but God made us alive. In your notes, 2, but God made us alive. What is it that has changed stuff for us? Well, let me read verses 4 to 7. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. But God took the dead, the lifeless zombie, shower to plug hole spider, and made us alive. It takes amazing power to take a dead thing and make it alive. I mean, I tried to do it to a bee in my garden the other day. I failed. But it also takes remarkable love to do that. You see, every time that we trespassed, every time that we sinned, we were saying something about God. We were saying that God is not good. We were saying that God doesn't love us. We were saying that God is not the one true king over everything. We made God out to be evil each and every time we did that. Yet, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were doing that, God loved us. God, who is rich in mercy and love, even when we were his dead enemies, he made us alive together with Christ. What love is that? He took us and he united us to his Son. Just track the with language there in verse 5 to 6. Let me highlight for us. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Paul wants to make this point so strongly that he invents a word to say this. In the original Greek here, there is a word here that Paul has invented himself to make a big deal of this. It takes extraordinary power. It takes miraculous power to do this. In fact, if you read Ephesians, it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Each and every believer has had that done for them. So if you want to see God's power today, just look around. A Christian is someone who's in Christ. What happened to Christ happened to them. The connection to life has been restored. The path that we were on has been closed. The plug has been covered. We've been turned around. We are now alive together with Christ. His life is our life. We are raised. We are resurrected with him, never to experience death again. We are seated with him right now in the heavenly places. Where he goes, we go. I remember this truth. I've had this drilled into me. Every time I eat an apple, perhaps you will after this. Every time I eat an apple, I remember this truth, okay? Because like the seeds in an apple, where the apple goes, the seeds go. Like the pips inside an apple, we are perfectly safe inside of Jesus. Where Jesus goes, we go. He punched through death, and we can follow him straight through. See, when you get that, every worry disappears. Wanting to impress others, wanting to have your best life now, when you truly understand what that means, it changes everything. And anything else that you think is impressive, well, it's just child's play. A healing? Great. A sign? All right. Life from the dead? Wow, that is cool. In fact, the fact that the church exists today is God's power on display. Believers around the world trusting in the one true God and walking in his ways. Taken from death to life by grace. In Nigeria, in South Africa, in Wales, in Scotland, even here in Little Hemel Hempstead. And that's going to continue forever. Look at verse 7. God's power is on display forever because of the kindness he's shown his people in Christ Jesus. You see, when all is said and done, and our few years here on earth are done, and eternity is in view, God's grace, God's kindness will be framed to be on display as we show what God has done for us. We were dead, but God made us alive. So how has that all come about? In fact, we've had this all the way through the passage so far. Let's underline it now, though. How's it all come about? Well, because of God's mercy and grace. We were dead, but God made us alive. Final point this morning, because of God's mercy and grace. Point number 3 for your notes, because of his mercy and grace. Have a look at verses 8 to 10 with me. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is because of God's mercy and God's grace that all this is true. For it is by grace. It's not something that we've earned. It's not something that you've done for yourselves. This is not from yourselves, Paul says here, very clearly. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Completely, purely, 100%ly, it is of God. The moment that someone becomes a Christian, the moment that someone has faith, they are saved. I mean, a body on the bottom of the ocean, it can't claim anything for itself, can it? It can't even grab the life ring for itself. If we still think that is possible, we still haven't understood just how dead we were. No, Paul underlines it. He highlights it. He draws a big circle around it. It's God who has done it. Look at verse 8 again. Get it really close to your eyes so you can see the very dots of the ink. Verse 8, this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not the result of works. It's not how nice you are. It's not the result of works. No one can boast. You see, if someone wants to boast that they're saved by their works, they miss the point. A dead person cannot resurrect themselves. A body under the waves, it can't throw itself a life ring. It takes far more than that. It takes miraculous. It takes resurrection power. It takes the very power that raised Christ from the dead. It takes power that makes the national grid look like a sparkler. The very power that only comes from God himself. And the point of that is it should humble us. It's immensely humbling, isn't it, when we think of it that way? And so, since we've been brought back to life, since we are new creations, it changes our identity. It changes who we are and it changes what we do. See how Paul explains that in verse 10? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. And we are God's handiwork. I mean, on Friday night, the men here had a survival skills night. Our own Danny demonstrated what it takes to survive in the wild. And we got to see Danny's handiwork. It was a shelter. What was it for, Danny? A tree bunny? Is that right? A tree bunny, there you go. It was a shelter Danny had made for a tree bunny, aka someone who wants to sleep off the floor. Danny was very proud of his handiwork. So proud, Eric was taking photos of it with him posing next to it. He wanted to show it off. Fair enough. I mean, he nearly made me consider sleeping outside at some point. But God's handiwork, well, that's what you are if you're a Christian this morning. You, take this to the bank, you are God's handiwork. Just as Danny demonstrated his shelter to us on Friday night, God demonstrates his power through you this morning. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 says this: God's intent was that now through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. God makes known his power to all the spiritual realms through us, through the church. God says, oi, look at that bunch down there in M.Y. Hempstead. He probably doesn't have a Hemel accent, to be fair. But look at those people down there. That is my power. Know how powerful I am. Isn't that awesome? As Ephesians continues, Paul is going to outline what that's going to look like. That life, that resurrection, new creation life at work in God's people. What does it look like? Well, it looks like this. It looks like putting off the old way and walking in the new way. It looks like husbands and wives united together in marriage. It looks like children obeying their parents. It looks like working wholeheartedly as if for the Lord. It looks like treating one another in the best way possible. All the things that society, all the things that people out there wish society would be like. All those things that are enabled through the gospel. Things that take miraculous, that take resurrection power to bring about. All areas of life are affected by what God has done to truly be alive, to truly live the way God intended us to live, being who God designed us to be right from the very beginning of time. That, Paul says, is a powerful display. That, Paul says, is how God shows his power at work today. As we live out the rest of our lives, we are, verse 10, God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, because of the security of where we stand, because of the grace that God has shown us, we can now live our lives for him. It changes how we walk. It changes how we live. We've been given life. And if that's true, if we really understand that, we're going to want to live God's way. We no longer need to follow the world around us. We no longer have to listen to the devil. No longer must we just go with the flow. Instead, we're freed from all that, and we can confidently walk God's way as new creations. We were dead. God made us alive because of his mercy and grace. Isn't that amazing this morning? Taking a dead person, a really dead person, cut off at the roots person, making them alive, joining them to Christ, all because of his mercy and grace, not because of anything in us. Now that is impressive. Now that is real power this morning. If you still think that something else is more impressive than that, read this again. And if you still come away thinking that something else is more impressive, read that again and again. Really think hard about this. Because every person who is trusting in the Lord Jesus is that power on display. If that is you this morning, you are a walking, living demonstration of God's power right here, right now, as Fat Boy Slim would say. It's amazing, isn't it? So how do we see God's power today? Well, when we understand just what's happened in the lives of believers, we can answer that question. How do we see God's power today? Simply look around you. Go on, take a moment to do it again. You've done it once. It's going to be less awkward this time. Identify the person you're going to have coffee or tea with after and talk about this sermon with them. Great. You see, every time a Christian crosses from death to life, you're seeing God's resurrection power on display today. Each time a Christian is living God's way, you're seeing God's resurrection power on display. Each time you do that, you are a walking, talking, living, framed in a vase in the middle of my dining table display of God's power. Paul prays that the Ephesians had their eyes opened to that. Shall we pray that we have our eyes open to that as well? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we praise you that your power is at work today. We praise you that we can see it as we look around this very room this morning. Thank you that you've taken us from death to life. Thank you that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has brought us alive too. Thank you that in your mercy, whilst we were your enemies, you showed us your grace. And Father, we praise you for your workmanship. Would we know that as we go into our weeks, would we know that if we trust in Jesus, we are a walking, living display of your power. Help us to know that this week as we go about our business. Help us to really get just who we are and walk in light of it. And we thank you for all this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.